We are back with another episode of the Footy LG Pod. I am here this time. Tony's back. Tony, what's going on, man?
Oh, not too much. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Hope everyone's had a great, great Christmas and vacation and holidays and all of that lovely stuff. We have a lot to talk about, you know. We had Chelsea with another loss to Wolves. Man U with a beautiful comeback victory over the weekend. Lots to talk about. And you know what, Tony? We're not going to talk about fucking any of it. Because it's almost New Year's, so we are doing our New Year's countdown show just like we did last year. This time, though, we're a little bit ahead of the game. We've got it a little bit more laid out, a bit better, right, Tony?
Yeah, we'll have my favorite game from last year, so.
I will not make you run the gauntlet this week. We'll take a break on that as we do our tops from this past year, but maybe we'll get into that next week. I don't know if, for those who missed it last week, we had a guest, Joe, on the show who almost got through it. He didn't. So it's still an unbeatable gauntlet as of right now, but we'll in the new year we'll have to see if Tony can finally take it down. But listen, yeah. we have eight categories to go through. All of what we found was the best or the worst or, you know, the funniest things like that from the past season. A lot's gone on, Tony. I want to open it up with your favorite goal of the past season. And there was a lot of banger goals. What was your top goal from this past season?
There was so many. I mean, I couldn't even, like, when I went through a list of ones I can remember, I ended up having five that stuck out for me. Obviously, even now looking at it, but for me, to be honest, it was a goal from back in January. It was when Napoli defeated Juve 5-1, and it was Krejci Kvaratskhelia's first goal of that game. It was put up Napoli up 2-0, heading up to a 5-1 win. And it's just for me, it was more the importance of the goal and what it meant to the game, you know, because Napoli, obviously, that was the start. Well, not the start, but 2023 started a lot better than the ended. But that was one of those games for me that goal there was just the importance of how big it was to defeat Juve and just what it meant for the rest of the season going forward. So that was my favorite goal of the year just because what it meant behind it.
Yeah, so let's clarify. It's definitely favorite goal, not best goal of the year, because best goal in a Napoli game happened in Real Madrid when they lost to Valverde. That Valverde rocket. That was one of them. But yeah, no, that's as far as favorite goals go, yeah, that's a good one. That's a big one for your team. I mean, my favorite goal is I'm going to go the best goal of the road because my favorite goal is both what I think is the best goal this season. And it came down to two of them, and both of them happened very recently. So Tony's was back in January. Mine was very recently. One was the Cristiano Ronaldo Al Nassr goal where he just freaking lobbed one huge up. The perfect shape came right down over the defender's head in the end of the net. Just a thing of beauty. Like, the skill it takes for that to happen is just insane. But that's a close second to my first, and that's Alejandro Garnacho's bicycle kick goal a few weeks back. Thing of beauty. Everyone compares it to Wayne Rooney's. That bicycle kicks Wayne Rooney's bicycle kick's ass. Like, it actually hit his foot, not his shin. Like, it was a thing of beauty. It was perfectly, perfectly done. And that, to me, is both my favorite and what I think is the best goal of this entire season. So it had to wait till the end of the year, but we got it.
That was on my list, too. That was one of my five that I had. It was just such a nice goal. I mean, there were so many, right? That was just perfect, the cross and everything. So
there were a lot of great goals. But I mean, if you got a Man U kid putting a bicycle kick goal into the net with a pork chop sending the cross in, you know that's going to be my choice right there. let's move on now. We had a lot of signings this year, so the next two categories are going to revolve around the best signing. And the best discount signing, meaning, you know, someone maybe they didn't pay a lot for that ended up doing way better than you thought they would. So let's start with the top signing. Tony, who's your top signing of 2023?
So my top signing, it's honestly comes down to two players.
I agree.
I couldn't really decide between the two of them. I couldn't think of anyone that that would have been able to eclipse either one. But it goes, for me, it's a tie between Harry Kane and Jude Bellingham.
Oh, I disagree.
Oh, really?
So I agree with you on one of them. I think Jude Bellingham is the no-brainer signing of the year, right?
But Harry Kane, I mean, I know it's Germany, but I mean, to step in and just I think he's scoring at an even higher rate than he did at Tottenham.
Yeah, but I mean, look at his results. They're out of both leagues. They're out of the cup.
They're second in the German league.
I think they've won what the past 10 years.
Yeah.
And now they're second, and it's not looking that close. Like, I don't know, man. Is it that good?
The Kane curse is what it is. But I mean, I think the numbers just don't. You can't joke around with those numbers. I mean, he's doing unreal. But Jude Bellingham is obviously. Just how he stepped into Madrid and just took over is just fantastic. So
yeah, so my two, I have obviously Jude Bellingham, and I think he's the one. Like, even though I have this second guy here, I think the second guy would win it most years, but just with the year Jude Bellingham is having, it is just phenomenal. But my guy I have up there too is Declan Rice with Arsenal.
Yeah,
I think he has been a phenomenal player this year for them. He's done so much with that team, and I think he helps that team so much that, like, you know what we saw last year, what happened with Arsenal, we at the top and then they went down. This Declan Rice guy, he is that core of that team right now, and he could really keep them up there this year. I really like what he's doing, even though I hate that it's for Arsenal, but he's been a phenomenal he's been a phenomenal player, and I think that signing is going to go super under the radar that people, again, yeah, you're looking at the Harry Kane signings, you're looking at the Jude Bellingham's, and even all the big money that both, you know, Chelsea splash and a lot of other teams splash some big money to get these players. Declan Rice kind of goes under the radar a little bit, but I think his signing is one of the best of the year.
Yeah, like compared to like Kane and Bellingham, it's one of those few signings this year where it's got its money's worth.
Yeah, you know, like
no one's shaking their head like why they spend so much for Declan Rice, because he is playing. He is pushing Arsenal to that second level. So
yeah, and you know, I had kind of him in my discounted signing one too, but I think they still spent a decent price tag on him, so I couldn't rationalize.
But that was no discount there.
No, like he's definitely up there. But I do think he's one of the best signings of the year. But honestly, it's all about Jude Bellingham, right? Like,
yeah, it's crazy. I mean, the guy's like what, 20 years old? Like, it's just crazy how he just dominates and just runs. I mean, just runs the team.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, so, and speaking of big goals, I mean, his goal against Barcelona, that first one, that shot from outside of the box after everyone's like, oh, he only scores tap-ins, and then he just scores that juggernaut shot too. So,
yeah.
You know, I think we're going to, on this list, we're going to have Jude Bellingham come up a few times.
Yeah. We'll see about that. I mean, for what they paid for him, he really could be the best discounted signing too, because this guy could really go for hundreds and hundreds of million dollars the way he's playing. But let's go next to the next top signing. You know, what is the best discounted signing? Now, when we say discount, we mean like someone, you know, that didn't go for a lot of money and it's made an immediate impact on the team that's done very well.
I'll be honest, I thought we were going to do disappointing, but it's okay. I got disappointing signing, but I got a discount one too.
Well, maybe you need to check the list that you sent me then.
I did mean disappointing. All right,
we'll get to disappointing next. We'll do disappointing
next.
I actually have
a good discount one, and it's Marcus Thuram for Inter.
Yeah, I had him on my list.
And then him, and then even Jan Sommer. For Inter, the goaltender. I think those two guys, I believe Jan Sommer was a free transfer for sure, and I believe Marcus Thuram wasn't that much either. But both those guys, I mean, to fit in, I mean, what Inter lost last year in the sense of their strike partner with Lukaku and Jekyll both leaving, even though they weren't good, Marcus Thuram really fit really well with Lautaro Martinez, and Jan Sommer is arguably one of the better, if not the best goalie right now in Europe, so.
Yeah,
those would be my two discounted signings.
That's fair. I have two as well, and they're actually both different than yours. One of them, and they're both these guys. I think their deals are both for around 40 million, which again, that's a lot of money, but it's not when you're seeing all these guys like Caicedo and them going for $100 million. You know what I mean? These are guys that, to me, 40 million. I do think that's a bit of a discount. So my number two would be Cole Palmer. The move from Manchester City to Chelsea, you know, he's been flourishing in the Chelsea system. He's been playing really well. And only 40 million for something like that for a guy making an immediate impact when Chelsea has spent, again, hundreds of millions of dollars on these other guys that aren't doing anything. You know what I mean? Exactly. To see him come in and do that, he's my number two. But my number one, and the reason I think he's number one is because as soon as he got hurt, the team has fallen off a little bit, is James Maddison. And, you know, it's a bit of a discount because Leicester's going to Division Two. You know, they had to get rid of their players that wanted to stay in the Prem. So they got Madison for $40 million. And I think Madison is playing like a, was playing like a $75 to $80 million player. I mean, he had that midfield going. Tottenham looked really good when he was on there. And as soon as he got hurt, they look a lot worse. So I think he is a massive signing for them, and they got a great discount deal on it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he was, I mean, Tottenham seems like they've kind of they've righted their ship a little bit now, but at the beginning of the season, he was just fantastic.
Yeah, that's fair. All right. Well, you want disappointing? We could go disappointing. And I want to go first because I didn't even have this on those, but I know who's my most disappointing signing of the season. And you know, why don't you guess who mine is, Tony? Take a shot in the dark here.
I'm going to say Mason Mount.
No. Same. You're on the right team, though.
Okay.
Yeah. Just a bit bigger, blacker, and a goalkeeper.
Oh, Nana.
Buddy, almost $45 million for Andre Onana, and he has to be one of the worst goalies I've ever seen in my life. I don't know what's wrong with the guy. He is so bad.
He was unreal last season. Like, when you saw the way he played last year, especially in the Champions League, you know, he earned that money, but man, it's just been a big drop.
It's 10 Hag's boys. They just don't play well in England. Like, he came from, I know Inter Milan last year, but he's an Ajax boy when Ten Hag was there. And all these guys come in, Antony, Andre Onana, these guys are coming in, and they're god awful.
Yeah, it's shocking how bad he is.
Yeah, but, I think that's my disappointing signing easily.
So yeah, I had Mason Mount as my number two, but my number one's Moises Caicedo. I mean, seeing that transfer back and forth between Liverpool and Chelsea going back and forth, who's going to get him, who's going to end up with, just to see all that effort to go for someone like that, and then you watch him play and it's just complete trash. I mean,
all the money that went for him too.
Like, biggest transfer in England, like $115 million, and then that's the effort you see, like, I don't even know if he can start in that midfield now that Nkunku's back, but it's just, he's the worst one. I mean, when it's kind of like how last year we spoke about Antony, you know, all that money and then what's he going to do, right? Like, just very, very bad signing.
Yeah, I think it's funny whenever you talk about disappointing signings, you always look at players on your own team because that's who you really hate, you know, but yeah, Chelsea has a lot of guys that could really get this tag of people that they spent money on that just haven't played really, so it's hard to make an assumption on them. You know what I mean? Like, they have that Lavia guy or whatever who they splashed some money on. I don't think he's played one game yet.
He's been bad. I mean, Martin, the Jackson striker. I mean, just Jackson, horrible.
I mean, Nkunku again looked good in the one game he played, but he's only
He was injured at the beginning. So, it's hard to put worse signing on injury.
Disappointing, but, though, if you splash money in a guy like that, anticipating him to come in right away, and he only puts one game.
It's hard to put him on the list when you got a guy like Moises Caicedo who's actually playing and can't do shit, right? So,
yeah, no, that's fair. Let's go to the top defensive player of the year. Mm-hmm. Who was that guy for you that really stood out as, you know what, that? And I think I know who yours is.
So this was tough for me because, I mean, the obvious for me is obviously Kim Min-jae. I mean,
I that's what I was thinking. I was going to say he's saying Kim Min-jae for sure.
And it's obvious for me because, I mean, I did have Van Dijk and John Stones because they both have been, as much as I hate Van Dijk, he's been unreal this season. John Stones last season for Man City was crucial in the Champions League run. But, I mean, Kim Min-jae, like, you look at how good Napoli was last year with him, and then now you look at, you know, they lost him, and they look at what the biggest problem is that center defense, and it's just he brought so much to the team. I mean, yeah, Bayern Munich has stumbled in a couple competitions, but he didn't play that cup game that they lost. He didn't play the Super Cup that they lost to Red Bull. So he's got a really good thing. I mean, he's just, I think he was that defender that came out of nowhere for 2023, and I think he's got big things ahead of him too.
Yeah, I do see what you're saying with him. I mean, he did have a very good year. Don't get me wrong. I think a lot of players had good years, but, you know, you got to look at some guys who played in all competitions, like Newcastle. Yeah. Trippier had a very good year. That defensive line for them was unreal. But again, they just played England. There's a lot of things could have gone either way. I went with the player. You're going to see this as a lot on my list anyways, as a lot of people from Manchester City. Mm-hmm. As much as I agree with you on John Stones, I think John Stones also played a lot in a defensive midfielder role. Yeah. So it's like, to me, defensive player, I'm thinking center backs. You know who I'm picking. Give me Ruben Diaz. I mean, yeah, the guy plays right in the middle of that defensive line. He's hard as glass, as hard as stone. He's does everything he can do. He's such a dominant player when he's back there. And I think it gives him such a breath of fresh air. They don't need to worry about that. I mean, they only allowed 33 goals all last season in the Prem. Yeah. In the Champions League as well, they only allowed in the group stages, anyways, they only allowed 2 goals, and they had Dortmund and Sevilla and Copenhagen in their group. Like, it was a decent group. So that defense was key. As much as their offense was great, don't get me wrong, their defense was key as well. So I give it to Ruben Diaz. And I do think he gets underrated now because he did start the season a little slow back in the beginning of 2022. But I think all of 2023, he's been phenomenal. So he's my defender of the year. I mean, I get what you're saying with Kim and J2. He had a fantastic year. I think a lot of players did. I would just give it to Ruben Diaz.
Yeah, I mean, Ruben Diaz is a great pick. Like, there's not much you can say more than that to prove how good he is. But I just, you know, for me, just seeing the way Napoli's not been able to compete the same way without Kim Min-jae, just shows, like, this team was unreal last year. They're a juggernaut, and now, you know, they're a shell of themselves. So,
well, yeah, but that's definitely something you have to think of too, right? Yeah. You look at the team and see what have they done since he's left. Yeah. And the answer is not a whole lot. but then you look at the flip side and you look for how's Kim Min-jae doing in Bayern. And again,
he's doing pretty good.
Bayern's had a bad season.
Yeah. Even though their bad season is still, their bad season is still 12-2-1 in the league.
Yeah.
You know, right. like you're talking about a bad, you know, plus 34 goal difference. Like, it's bad. It's bad for their standards, but I mean, that's a big plus for a team that's,
yeah,
you know, has a solid defense,
a few right? games that have kind of gone like what's going on, like in their when they got thrashed 5-1 by Frankfurt, when they got eliminated in the DFB Pokal, like things like that. But you're right, it's not crazy bad, but again, it's not
the level you would expect.
Yes, but yeah, I think.
But then again, even look at Man City this year right now, right? I know they got games in hand, but you know, it's not the city of old that we expected. So,
and I don't know how much that is attributed to the defense. I think it's more Kevin De Bruyne.
More offense, yeah.
Yeah, just Kevin De Bruyne's not there to help that midfield out. So they're kind of just stuck. Yeah. They're right. They're not looking that good this year in the league play, anyways. I still think they're the favorites in Champs League, but it's definitely looking a little bit different for them. But yeah, you're right. We'll have to see, and we'll see how this turns out. It is weird doing an end of year list because really we're halfway through the year of the season.
Yeah, so you're taking
right?
two seasons.
We're taking the end of last season and the beginning of this season and putting them together. It makes it a bit tricky, but we're making it work.
Yeah, exactly.
let's move on to your funniest moment of the season.
So this one, this was a little tougher, even though there's a bunch that I thought of. One in particular that just made me laugh just because of all the everything, the way it goes with like everything out of 2022 with Messi having help of refs and everything like that. This isn't my pick, but just in his debut for Inter Miami, when the ref literally dapped him, kind of like saying, "Hey buddy, no problem." Like, that was just like, don't make it so, like, it was just a funny scene after with all the memes. But my funniest moments comes out in Italy. It's a
surprise,
but this is pretty funny. I mean, it's Juventus midfielder Nicola Fagioli when he had his whole gambling thing where he got caught and now he's been suspended along with Tonali. But it was the fact that he said after a loss against Sassuolo, he said he wasn't crying because of the loss, he's crying because of the amount of money he lost on the game. So that was funny to me because I remember watching that game and just seeing him in tears. And then hearing that he cheated, he bet on himself, and it was just, to me, it's funny as hell.
Yeah, he took Fred.
It's like, you're such an idiot, you know.
He took Fred Van Vliet's life motto too literally when Fred said bet on yourself. He took that too literally.
Like, I just found it too funny about that. So that's my funniest moment of the year.
Yeah, I had a few. Obviously, you know, I had two petty ones and one just funny one. So I'll give you my two honorable mentions. One is being very petty is when Bob Bradley, after being
Oh,
fired from Toronto FC, goes over to Norway or whatever he went to coach in, and then got that team relegated too. That's hilarious to me, having that happen. My second was a video got released, I want to say back in like April of May, or May, when João Félix got transferred to Chelsea. Of three Chelsea players, one being João Félix, trying to do the whole EA Sports, it's in the game, and just João Félix cannot say EA. He says he hey, and the other two guys just keep ripping on him, and he just gets so frustrated going through it, and he cannot get the video off. Like that video just kills me. Every time watching that just drives me insane. But no, my funniest moment of the year is a bit mean, but it's petty because if you listen to this pod, you know I hate Wayne Rooney with a passion, and his managerial career with Birmingham, you know, it's not looking too good. They when they hired him, they were fifth in the championship, and then they appointed Wayne Rooney as their new manager, and now they are 19th in the league, and he's only won two. He's got two wins in 13 games. So
Crazy.
that's pretty funny to me, because that guy is the biggest Ronaldo hater. Like in the it's crazy to me, someone who his career is super relevant thanks to Ronaldo. To the hate he has for him, it makes me laugh when I see him fail. And he's pretty much failed everywhere he's gone since Man U, like DC United to play and then coach. Now he's in Birmingham. I think he coached Derby too and was also a failure there, if I'm not correct.
That one they got relegated because of the ownership and points deduction. So
Well, what's the
I
issue with
would have
Birmingham now then?
yeah. No, well, Derby, he actually had a decent record with Derby. They were like minus 50 points.
Well,
So, everything else since has just been a laughing stock. So,
yeah, I'm
and
laugh.
then
I'm hoping Birmingham gets relegated, because that would be even funnier.
speaking of laughing stocks too, I mean, one of the funny moments of the year, obviously too, is Megan Rapinoe's last 6 months.
Oh yeah.
I mean, missing that penalty, getting injured on the farewell game, like it's just you can't ask, you can't make that stuff up how her year ended. So.
Yeah, it's been a wild end to the year, but that to me is the funniest one. Although He Hey Sports just kills me.
Yeah, I forgot about that video, to be honest. But I know it's right when you said it. I was like, oh yeah.
all right, so we're down to our last three categories that we have. I'll go with this one. I mean, this one I don't even think I need to answer this. It's obvious to anyone who's listened to any episode. I think I bring it up once a pod, but what is the best kit of this year? So now this is where it gets tough, because obviously at the beginning of the year, ever the kits were released the year before, but this season, so we'll call this season's new kits. What was your favorite kit of this season?
I'm gonna go. Well, to me, I mean, there's one that I really like, but obviously the second for me, I'm just gonna have to mention is actually, you know what? Nah, we'll leave that one out. For me, the number one is Fiorentina's away kit, the white and the purple with the flowers along the bottom are going up. Like it's just a work of art. I love those kind of kits that just go different from everybody else. And that to me is one of the nicest kits right now, the white and the purple. So that's my favorite one.
Yeah, that's fair. For me, we all know where it's going. I mean, it's just different when your team puts out a gorgeous jersey, right? Even when you see other teams have nice ones, when your team puts one out, like a big honorable mention to the Toronto FC energy kit from this year. Great looking one, but we all know what mine is. It's the third jersey from AC Milan this year.
Oh, the popsicle.
And I actually just got it for Christmas too. Like it's just
Oh, nice.
is the nicest looking jersey. It is by far, my opinion, the best jersey that's come out this year. And I don't even think it's that close with everybody else's. I just think it is just so nice. So that's my pick. But we knew that, right? I talk about it almost
Yeah,
every week.
that was like that's why I like my second one is the Napoli third kit with the black and gold with the it's just one of those nice kits that they released. And but for me, that Fiorentina one, even the AC Milan, it's just so different. Like AC Milan doesn't scream AC Milan, you know what I mean?
No, not at
But it
all.
works. It works though.
Yeah, so the Fiorentino one you're talking about is it their away shirt?
Yes, the second you get.
Yeah, the one that's like kind of like a light white purpley with those designs in
Yes.
it. Yeah. Yeah, that's a nice kit. I mean, Kappa for me is always a no-no because they never fit me properly, but it is a great looking shirt. I mean, Italy's teams, they do a good job, you know.
Yeah,
they know how to get the kits done. I mean, Inter Milan always has nice ones. Even Juventus has nice ones. Like every team is done up nice.
Inter Milan, to me, their jerseys this year, I'm so jealous of them just because of Paramount Plus and like.
Yeah,
I mean that Transformers one. It's nothing special about the jersey, but just having the Optimus Prime logo, the Transformers logo on it just looks so sick. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah,
so, yeah,
yeah. No, for sure. I mean, they're a thing of beauty. You're right, having that Autobots logo right on the front.
It's just Prime, so cool, man.
Yeah, and like we said, if they start putting other Paramount things, if I get a Cartman jersey, like I'd lose my mind.
Yeah.
all right, but yeah, so that's the kits. Let's get to the big two. The remaining two, we obviously have our top player of 2023, and we also have our moment of the year. And you know what? People might say, what's moment of the year? We'll keep that then, because moment of the year to me and you is obviously, in my opinion, the best of the year. You know, yeah, that one moment for you this year.
You're never going to forget.
Yeah, so let's start with your top player. Who is your top player of 2023?
So my top player of 2023 is Osimhen, obviously. I think he broke out last season. And he's done. He did so well. He stumbled to end 2023, but I think everything he did from January to May, you know, I think it was like a 9-game goal scoring run near the end, just putting in the goal against Udinese to clinch the title, to tie the game that day. He stepped up. He just was fantastic. And, you know, for me, I know it's very, as a Napoli fan, it's very, easy bias for me to use him bias, but you know, I just think, you know, what he did was just fantastic. And yeah,
that's fair.
I put him as number one for me.
And he did have a phenomenal year, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not that far outside the box to say him. He had a fantastic year. I'm with you. I liked what he did a lot. Mm-hmm. My top player of the year, I'm going more traditional, and it's the person who should have won the Ballon d'Or. And that's Erling Haaland. I mean, yeah, the guy was a goal-scoring machine. He won the EPL. He won the Champions League. He had the most goals in both competitions. Like, he ended the year as, I think, the fourth highest most goals in 2023. So I just think he did fantastic. I really, really like what he did with him. When he had all the pressure in the world coming in, people saying, you know, it takes a while for people to adjust to the EPL. It takes a while for people to do this. He came in, did not miss a beat, was scoring goals at an absurd rate. And even right now, he's slowing down. I'm using air quotes right now. He's slowing down this year, and he's still killing it in the EPL, leading in goals and all that stuff. So he's definitely my pick for player of 2023, I think.
He came in just like a cannonball, right? Like just, he came in just, I think it was like two hat tricks in his first three games or something like that in the EPL. Like, you know, everyone made fun of him as, oh, can a German, especially you, can the guy from the German league do it in England?
Well, we've seen it go wrong so many times.
Oh, 100%. But you know what? He is that one outlier that just dominated and just did so well. So,
yeah, no, for sure. It's nice to see someone just destroy. Like, he came in with all the pressure and he did what he had to do. So that's why he's my top player of 2023. I think he should have won the Ballon d'Or. I don't think Messi should have been in the top three. Osimhen should have been up there. Mbappe should have been up there. Should not have been Messi at all. But here we are. We don't need to discuss this again.
Yeah. we all know all that.
That should have been my most disappointing signing of the season, is Messi for Inter Miami, because when they signed him, they were dead last. At the end of the season, they were second last. So not doing a whole lot there, bud. But it definitely should have been Haaland this year, in my opinion. He was the best player.
And you look at like even players like for this season, the second half of 2023. I mean, you get guys like Lautaro Martinez and even once again, like Jude Bellingham, like there's players that just did so well. But when you mention Haaland and Osimhen, you see the way they played and it's hard, you know, it's hard to just pick, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And not just that, what they did for their team.
Yeah.
You know, it's like their teams were the two best teams last year to me, Man City. And what Napoli did in Serie A, they made it. If they could have gotten a bit further in Champs League by getting past Milan, would have been huge. But they still had a phenomenal year.
For those two games, Milan was the best team in the world because those were only two good games that year.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know what? Yeah. It's
that's what happens when you go against Liao, man. Come on.
Yeah. No, those are his two best games of the season were those two.
Yeah,
no, I think it's 2023. So
it's definitely there. So yeah. I mean, you're right. It could be arguably the two best teams of the year. Man City, obviously, the best team last year.
Yeah,
that's lots of great to talk about. And let's wrap this up by you telling us, Tony, your favorite moment of this year. I think I can guess.
I was gonna say, if you guys don't know this one leading up to here at this point, you haven't really been paying attention.
Yeah.
For me, it's it's just obviously it's Napoli clinching their third Scudetto, the first one I've seen in my lifetime. I'm actually when the pod comes out, which will be Thursday, Friday, I'm actually booked my tattoo. As you know, I always get tattoos of when my favorite teams win, so I got something special coming for Friday. But yeah, I mean, just for me.
Well, stay tuned to that Insta for the reveal.
Yeah, I think it's good. I have a cool design on it, but. For me, I mean, like, you know, most of us are always, like, big fans of big clubs. Like, I do say I am a Chelsea Real Madrid fan, but deep down, if I have to pick between watch one of those games, it is Napoli will always come before everyone. You know, we all, you know, you were there with me when TFC won. So that was another special moment back in 2017. But for me right now, to see this, to watch this team, you know, for me, giving them so much hate at the beginning of the year, like how disappointed they were going to be, to see them play so well, to see them go on that run, to finish it up with like 18 points ahead was just amazing. My only wish is I was able, if I could have went there to witness it, but it was just, you know, seeing the scenes after that game against Udinese where they just needed a point to tie it and just seeing the reaction of the players, it was just amazing for me, and it was emotional just to finally say I got to see Napoli win. So that's my moment.
Oh, that's huge. I mean, like you said, you've been waiting for your whole life, and I think it was even better when you're anticipating that you weren't going to get anything. You know, you in your mind, you had this season kind of marked down as a write off. You thought they were going down. Insigne was gone. A lot of changes were made. You thought that's it. It's done. So I could definitely see that kind of all culminating in just the best moment for you. Mine happened, hasn't happened yet. It'll officially happen on New Year's Eve, on December 31st. Because after being written off for the past few years as too old, broken down, too big of an ego, at age 38, Cristiano Ronaldo will have been the highest goal scorer for the year 2023 with right now 53 goals. He still has one game left. No one else can catch him. He has one game left on, I believe it's December 30th, but he's right now at 53 goals. Haaland was at 50 or 51, and Mbappe and Harry Kane were at 52 goals each for this season. So Cristiano Ronaldo will be the highest goal scorer in 2023. And that's through everyone's, he's in the Saudi league. Yes, he is. He's in the Saudi league, but he was also through Portugal's qualification for the Euro Cup. He scored a ton of goals as he's doing in the Saudi league as well. So it's impressive that someone at age 38, and if everyone's saying, Saudi league, then why isn't Benzema there? Why isn't Sadio Mane in this top list? You know what I mean? There's a lot of good goal scorers that are in the Saudi Pro League that aren't even touching Ronaldo's numbers.
I mean, let's be honest, Benzema heading into the Saudi Pro League last January, was probably one of the top strikers in the world, and I don't think he cracks top 10 right now as it stands.
Yeah, he's
he's in just as hard as the league as Ronaldo, and he's not doing it. So
yeah, he's got 9 goals through 15 games in Saudi Arabia, where Ronaldo I think has like 35 through 34 games or something like that. Like
if it's so easy, then everybody should be doing it, right? But
exactly, that's what I'm saying. So to have him up there, he's number one this year. He's gonna go down as the number one goal scorer, and he's 38 years old. It's crazy impressive. So, I mean, Messi was in France and in Miami, and he's still not going to touch that, even come close to that. So it's crazy what he's doing. And that's my moment of this year, because, you know, it's a guy like Ronaldo to be doing it at this age, after all the stuff he went through with Man U, at the end of his time with Juventus. It's so nice to see him bounce back and do something this well. So that's my moment of the year. And frankly, that's because I haven't had many moments this year, because Man U sucks. Toronto FC sucks. FC Porto's not doing great.
It's true. Like, looking on it, like, it wasn't many wasn't much to think. I mean, the only positive we've said about TFC is this the third kit, the jersey you mentioned.
and firing Bradley. And hey, maybe we'll look back and say hiring Herdman was a game changer too. We don't know.
I was almost gonna put that as my disappointing signing.
I thought you changed your view.
Well, at first I wasn't. I mean, I can't. You know, you have to give him a chance. You have to see what he does when he's actually behind the bench. So, but I mean, 2023 was a very, very up and down year. But yep. We'll see how it goes. Things come in 2024. So
before we wrap up, though, Tony, we've looked back on this year. We've made our picks for tops of the year. What is your one? I don't know if I want to say hope for 2024. Maybe prediction for 2024. What do you want to see happen in 2024?
2024, for me at least, there's a few that come to mind, but for me, I want to see John Herdman and Lorenzo Insigne turn TFC around. I think there is potential there. I think if they get on the right page with each other, it could work. I want to see it because I would hate to see Lorenzo, who had a very good career, not among the greatest of all time, but he had a great career, and I don't want to see it end with a debacle like this. And I hope John Herdman can prove me wrong and do it. I think TFC has potential. It's going to be tough, but I hope that the spark just gets lit, you know. So that's my hope, is that they pull something off there.
Listen, a TFC renaissance under John Herdman would be
that'd be
on my list as well. However, if I'm only getting one choice, I don't think it's going to come because of the coach they chose, but a Portugal Euro Cup win would be my hope for 2024. Yeah. And maybe Canada getting into the Copa Americas and doing some damage in there too would be nice. So 24 is going to be an exciting year, man. There's going to be a lot of good stuff cooking up. Euro Cup, the Copa America, you know, TSC got a new coach, new identity, hopefully. A lot of cool stuff's coming in 2024. And if you guys want to stick around with us, find us everywhere at FootyLG on Instagram, TikTok, Spotify, and Apple Music. New episodes every Thursday, all 2023. I think we did all 2023, Tony.
Yeah, we did. Yes, 2022, we started halfway through.
First full year. So you meet back up with us all 2024. We're going to be here on behalf of Tony, myself, FootyLG, Dante, everybody else behind the scenes at FootyLG. Guys, we wish you all a tremendous new year, and we will see you back here in 2024. Have a great night.